Is Stranded Deep worth our time? We're about to find out. Welcome, everyone, to episode 162 of 1 Hour, One Decision, 1H1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and play a random game on Xbox Game Pass and decide, well, Tom, is crab meat worth our time?
People love crab meat. I have a friend who is part crustacean.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I do like my crab cake, but we'll find out if this is actually worth our time as we're talking about Stranded Deep by Beam Team Games.
I like that rhyming.
Yeah, that is a good name. That's a good name for a game developed. And this game came out in two different release cycles here. April 2020 on the PS4 and Xbox, and then August 22 on Apple, Linux.
Okay.
That's quite interesting that it came out on consoles first. And then. But
yeah.
This game I played on PC. It 2.12 gigabytes on the PC. What about you, Tom?
1.64 gigabytes on the Xbox Series S. Yeah.
You would think all that development time on the, but maybe more, it's bigger because it's getting more graphics.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know. But what kind of game is this?
I put down first person crafting survival game.
I dropped the crafting and I put first person survival game.
See, I was going to put survival game without the crafting first, and then I was thinking to myself, that might sound like it's almost like a horror survival game, like don't get killed, but that's really not what this is. This is much more about building and harvesting and that sort of thing.
Well, that we know of in our first hour.
That's fair.
But yes, there is a lot of crafting in this first hour, for sure. What about that loop in that first hour?
Funny that you should mention that. I have harvest resources to craft tools and build a base so that you might survive on an island.
I put craft and survive on this island.
Your island, not my island.
Not Gilligan's Island.
Not that one either.
No. But yeah, that's basically what I felt that I saw in the first hour. And let's talk about the stuff that we saw in the first hour that we liked.
Well, I want to start by saying I appreciated the attention to detail in some of the really early on. We were talking about crabs. There are crabs. There are these little fish. Like, the world does feel alive for you being on a deserted island, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. And talk about attention to detail, Tom. This is a first-person game, and you can see your feet.
So woohoo!
I'm putting that up on there. You can see your feet, even your chest and everything. It's great. Good on them for listening to my thoughts and putting it in their game, even though they clearly developed this game before we even brought this all up, guys. But
I
thought that was great. I'm glad that they did that, though. So sorry, I think I cut you off there.
No. Anytime you've gotten me into the habit where I'm ready to write that stuff down when I see it, I'm like, oh, Chris is going to be excited to see them feet.
You look down, you got to see it. The intro I thought was pretty intense too.
Yeah.
Kind of just your, I mean, okay, it's, I guess we'll talk about it a little bit on the dislikes here, but you know, you are sitting on a plane and that plane goes down and you feel the whole thing. You know, it's, you're like, what the heck is going on? A lot of confusions there. And then, you know, you're off to the races, so to speak.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what the heck is going on.
Speaking of immersion, I think the Foley, like the sound felt pretty good and immersive, like just walking around, listening to the environment. I thought it's the kind of game that probably would be a lot of fun to play in VR was one of the things that I thought right away. Just because some of the crafting and the walking around and the exploring and just you're kind of bombarded with stimuli. And I felt like this might be a good fit for VR.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. The other thing I thought that was kind of cool as most of these survival games nowadays do have, there is co-op. But there is also offline mode, which is what I played. You can play it on single player and just play it by yourself. So I thought that was nice to have that option. And also, there's the permadeath option. Ooh. It might be a plus or minus for however you play your games. But I thought I'd be a little cheeky and I picked that option, the permadeath. But spoiler, I survived my hour. So
yeah, nothing came after you in that first hour.
Nothing came after me in that first hour, nor did I die of thirst or hunger.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I imagine you did not die in your first hour is they have like an active quest log that's kind of pushing you along, moving you in the right direction, at least in the early part there. I thought my time went by really quickly.
Yeah.
Playing it because of that, you know, partly because there's always a goal in mind and you know kind of what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
So it got very like, I was able to get in the zone and get very zen and be like,
yeah,
okay, this is what I'm doing. I need to go get some of this. I need to go get some of that. Now I'm going to build this. Then I'm going to do that. It felt very like, you know, like easy to kind of follow along.
Exactly. And so that first hour obviously is a bit of a tutorial. And I thought that they did a pretty good job of kind of laying out what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to craft these things, like you mentioned, how to access certain menus that you get to utilize. You know, you utilize that crafting button quite a bit in that first hour. So
yes,
it was good. It was good to kind of, because there are a lot of different systems in the game that you need to figure out and utilize. So definitely important that they got that out. I explored my island a bit, but you have here something that's a little interesting. You said rewards for experience. I did not do that much to experience.
Oh, well, so your island and my island are different because they're procedurally generated when you start the game. So what you saw and what I saw are different.
Okay.
I saw off in the distance a half-sunken ship.
Yep.
So I swam out to it and got resources from in the crates in the ship.
Okay. Yep.
Some stuff that was already pre-crafted, so I didn't need to make it myself.
Mm-hmm. Really? Okay.
Wow. And you could tell, you know, like there were things in the horizon, and that thing is actually there. So once you have the means to get there, you know, there's kind of always something that's just a little bit out of your reach. Okay. And I think that's a good motivator, you know, for a game about being stranded on an island. You want to see some glimpse that there's other stuff out there. Otherwise, it would get boring pretty fast, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially as you kind of look at that crafting menu, you see a bunch of things that you potentially build. It's like, I feel like you'll probably deplete the resources of this island fairly quickly, because at least the one that I was on was fairly small.
Yes.
But I think you're right. I did see another island in my horizon that I feel like you could probably get to the right resource, kind of start the whole process of building, but hopefully with better gear. So there's that. That's cool. Anything else you want to talk about here?
I think, generally, I was pretty happy with just the pace of it, I think, is important to point out, I think, because that's some of these crafting games, like the pacing can be like a real slog.
Yeah.
And I didn't really feel that way. You know, like I said, I thought my hour went by really quickly, and that's usually a good indicator if you lose track of time.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Cool. So
yes, and I do have a number of those.
okay.
I'm going to start by saying that on the Series S, there was a lot of loading, especially for a game that's only 1.5 gigs, really.
Yeah.
Like, the game should basically entirely fit in the RAM, and somehow it's constantly loading, and I don't really understand why that is.
Right. I agree. And I felt it a lot, just like loading into the intro scene and then getting out of the intro scene into your world, so to speak. It was kind of jarring to see that, like, why is this taking so long? And it was, like that didn't make sense to me. But, you know, I didn't see any much loading after you got into your island. It was just in between these different playscapes or whatever you want to look. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I agree with that. And I also thought it was kind of weird, the tutorial, and I think you put this in your notes as well. While it was a good tutorial, it just kind of stops.
Yeah.
Which was odd. Like, it's kind of like got you through. And
it's like, and build a shelter. I'm like, okay, shelter's built. And then where did the tutorial go?
It's gone. That's it. That's it. Good luck.
Yeah, it didn't even say like tutorial complete or good job or now your quest is, you know, survive or something, you know?
Right. Yeah. It just, they left you stranded. They left you stranded in the tutorial.
So they really
did. That was unfortunate. But while I agree with you that the sound effects are really good in this game, I felt like the weather effects, the visuals of the weather effects were kind of lacking. Because during my second day or whatnot, it started to, it sounded like it was raining. There was a thunder, a big storm happening. But, you know, there was lightning, but there was no rain. Like nothing was happening. It was just kind of like, I was like, okay, should I hide under the shelter or what should I be doing here? Because other than the lightning, don't get me wrong, lightning is still very dangerous, but like, I didn't know what was happening. I felt a little disconnected, especially since most of the time you do feel immersed in the world. So, that was one thing. Maybe it's a nitpick or whatnot, but it is kind of weird, especially, you know, other games with rain, you would see like droplets on the screen or something, you know, anything like that.
Yeah. Some indicator that there was rain, precipitation happening.
Yeah, exactly. In my playthrough, the one thing that you needed to constantly have, you could not get because there was just a lack of resources. And that was the rope.
The lashing.
The lashing. Yes. Thank you. The lashing was needed 4 fiber strands, and it was impossible because there was not that many strands of fiber. Like there's plenty of like wood and like the bigger stuff, logs, you know, palm trees that have logs and stuff like that, but not so much the lashings. And that is like you, it's such a primary thing that you need to have to build anything else. It was just really, really frustrating and slowed me down a bit. I felt
it is on my list here too, because I think navigating and finding resources can be a real chore. Yeah. Like you said, some of them are easy to find and others are not.
Yeah.
That lashing item or crafting resource or whatever you want to call it feels like it should be a base material.
Yeah.
But it's not, because you have to get fibers, first of all, which aren't necessarily easy to find. And then you need a number of them. And then you need to craft lashing. And then you need lashing to make something else. And so there's this level of abstraction that seems like maybe like vine could have worked here. And then like you just go harvest vines from the trees or something, you know?
Yeah. And the other thing I thought was weird, for the most part, the crafting system or the crafting menus tell you what materials are required for what things. But I got to the point where I had to build my like water filtration system. And one of the things that it requires is a coconut with some string on it or something like that. But it was weird because that item was not on the crafting menu. So I was like scratching my head, like, well, how do you build this? Because my assumption was, of course, I had to use the coconut, like the coconut shell with the lashing, but like you needed to use the crafting menu to select it and then like craft it, or like use a craft menu. But like, I was like, how do I do this? And like, I think I just kind of like fumbled around with the controls, and then it eventually just came together. I was like, oh, okay. But it was just very confusing because, you know, everything else seemed to be kind of written out there in that menu. And then it's like, this wasn't. And it's a critical piece to make this thing. And that's part of the tutorial. So I'm like, what's going on, guys? Like, why do you help me help you or whatever? I mean, that was kind of annoying. I think, I don't know if this was translated or something, because sometimes I think the writing or menus and stuff like that were a little, the grammar was a little messed up on it, but kind of odd. And most frustratingly was accidentally destroying stuff you built. I did that quite a few times. And unfortunately, you don't get all your materials back. You get some of it back. And that was like, what the heck? Why would you do that? And if you're going to let me destroy something, give me back my materials so I can get that. I can at least reuse it and rebuild it, whatnot. You don't have to punish me already, right? So
yeah. Or at least the first time you're going to demolish something, be like, pop up, hey, just so you know, you're not going to get 100% of your stuff back.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice. It would be nice to do.
I thought the controls themselves were not terribly intuitive. Like, there's a lot of, like, you need to hold the button for certain things and press the button for other things.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, those felt wrong to me. Like, it felt like it should have been the other way around. Mm. Like, the things that should have been presses, the things that were holds should have been presses, and the things that were presses should have been holds.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not articulating it well, but it just didn't feel right.
Yeah. I mean, kind of going back to a like here, I thought that the way you interact with the world was pretty good overall. I mean, I get what you're saying with the controls, but like the fact that you could climb a palm tree and knock down the coconuts and stuff like that. And, you know, with the coconuts, you have to crack it open to then get to the hard shell, to then drink some water. Like there was some layers to the interaction I thought was kind of neat. But as good as the tutorial was, it just kind of left some things out where you just have to figure it out, which, okay, maybe the idea is to let you try to play with your little sandbox here. The other thing I have to say here is the, I guess, kind of annoying part is like you can only save after you've created your resting spot.
Right.
And, you know, that with the tutorial was a little bit far into
it. Yeah, it's pretty deep into the tutorial by the time you figure out how to do a shelter.
Right. And I thought it was weird that you could sleep, but I don't know if that necessarily saves. So does save, like, can you save but not sleep? It was weird. So I don't know. There's just a thought here. But anything else here you got about your dislikes?
The only other thing that I have listed here is that I started playing the game by accident. okay. Because like in the menus, when you're starting up the game and making some selections, like A starts the game, doesn't confirm like the selection you made. I don't know if that makes sense, but it just wasn't what I expected it to do. And I guess that was it started there and continued as I played through the game. So
unintuitive controls. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I get that.
Maybe they made sense to the developer. They make sense on mouse and keyboard, or I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it is what I mean, I played it on mouse and keyboard. It was, you start off immediately into the game, and there was no creator character, was there? It was just like a random person, and you just, here you go. Yeah. Get in. It's like, okay, no customization there at all needed.
Which is interesting though, because like you said, you can play this multiplayer.
Yeah.
So you would think that you'd have some measure of what your character looked like.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you look identical to the other person. Like, how does the game decide?
Sure. Maybe someone had that answer for me. But cool. So other thoughts here. I will say this game is xCloud capable. It is available on Game Pass in that fashion. I didn't get to test it, though, to see if your saves are transferred. But I'd like to say it is. I'm not going to. Actually, no. Yep. Xbox Cloud saves are there. So you can transfer and play from your PC, your Xbox, and all that fun stuff. What else? How long to beat says this game takes between 23 and 35 hours.
It's a little bit of a spread. I guess it depends on how thorough you are, but it's also maybe what your random distribution looks like. Maybe you get set up and your island is close to Destination Island and you can get there pretty fast versus other side of the map or something.
Right. Who knows? But that's what I got. Tom, what do you got?
I wanted to mention, you've already covered it, that this game has multiplayer. Neither of us tried it, but I do think that it would improve the appeal, as it does, I think, generally across this genre of games. Yeah. Like having somebody else to work through some of these quests helps with the burden of it, makes the game move faster.
Yeah.
The game has a level editor, which I think is important to point out. It's lives in the options there. So you can definitely go and make the game easier by editing the map, you know?
Yeah.
Or make it harder or whatever you want to do, right? You can tailor it to your whims. I thought it was also interesting that the game was delayed because its publisher, which is Telltale, closed up shop. So the game had originally been planned for many years back, but ended up getting shelved when their publisher went down. And then the developers themselves had to do all the heavy lifting and kind of self-publish. So, you know, kudos to them for getting the game out in spite of it. So
yeah, good. That's good on them. All right. But Tom, now we need to come up with final decision on our end. Is this game going to be staying on our respective hard drives, or are we leaving them on our respective islands?
Well, Chris, I think I've mentioned it a little bit. This game feels a lot like every other one in its genre. But to me, it has less polish than some of the other options that you have out there. If I'm going to do this kind of game loop, I think I'd rather do it in No Man's Sky or Pal World or, you know, any number of the other ones.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough in this first hour to hook me into doing Stranded Island thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say my time, like you mentioned earlier, my time definitely flew by in this game, and there, I could definitely see that there's some layers to this game that could be interesting. Co-op does, is a nice thing to have, but like you said, there are quite a few other games out there that do this and do it a little bit better. And in, because of that, I think, you know, yeah, I'm probably going to pass on this, but good on them. Even they persevered through all their,
yeah,
difficulties to get this game published and put it on Game Pass. So we appreciate them for doing that.
Yeah. And you know, maybe for somebody out there, maybe Island is a, you know, their preferred, yeah, flavor of survival. So
right, right. Maybe they don't want any Pokemons that they want to beat with a stick.
Yeah, maybe they don't want to do it in sci-fi space. Maybe they don't want to do it in fantasy medieval land. Maybe they want to do it on an island like Tom Hanks, you know? I don't know.
Or Gillian.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those are our thoughts. Let us know what you think of this game. Follow us and say hello on Twitter at TC1H1D. Shoot us an email at TC1H1D at Outlook.com. Or check out our next streams on Twitch at Twitch.tv/1H1D. And hey, if you watch us on YouTube, comment down below. Maybe we'll try and connect with you and chat about it. But as always, 1H1D is part of that QTB network. And if you like any kind of great gaming content, check it all out at QuitTheBuild.com/network. Now, Tom?
Yes.
We have another game, and another game that was actually requested. Well, not requested. It won a poll on our Instagram there, which is at TC1H1D. Yeah, and that game is Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night.
Sounds a whole lot like a Castlevania title.
It might be. It might be, but we're going to find out. So thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into this episode, and we will catch you on the next.
Thanks, everybody.